Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey. We thank you certainly for your indispensable service to the show, and we could not do it without you, as I hope we say every week. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jumble Justice Radio Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Keith Haley. Again, we want to thank Johnny Cash for taking us on that nice road trip to 90 different cities and states. You don't get to hear them all, but one of these nights, actually, I don't think we've ever done it, but one night we'll take you across the whole United States. And Johnny Cash sings that song from memory, as country music fans realize. Emily and Mike, thank you for joining us tonight. And Mike, I really appreciate what you intend to do for us tonight. Our show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is about the taser. And I certainly do want to thank Mike for volunteering to be tased on the show tonight. Now, I know we can't do video, but I can verbally describe it as he goes, what did you say, Mike? You've changed your mind about it. All right. I can certainly imagine that, because or understand that, because I think that would be one of the last things I'd want to have happen to me also. I have a very healthy respect for electricity, having gone to electronic schools, three different ones in the Marines. It took me about 15 months to get through them, so electricity, let's keep our respect for it. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of our show tonight is to discuss news issues and events and developments in our always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of the field of criminal justice. And we dedicate our show every week to these tireless criminal justice professionals who serve us in the field of police and courts and corrections and in the juvenile justice field. And they do that not only in the United States, they do it in the other nations of the world also. It's not that uncommon now to be a local police officer, to have some type of special assignment in the corrections field, to go over and assist other people in other nations. And we've had, of course, people on the radio show that have done that. I think one who was assistant director of a higher prison system, and he spent a good bit of time in both Haiti and Iraq in helping them reform their prison system. So what we try to do here is look inside the field of criminal justice practice and take an up close look at us professionals. And tonight is a good example of that. We're going to look at the taser, and we're going to have one of the original master taser instructors on for a repeat appearance. Tonight the focus will be not only what's happened in the police field with tasers over the last year or so since he's been on, but also what's what's developing with the citizen use of the TASER over time. You're on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and it is a leading-edge technology, as I like to say every week. And you go on the blog, BTR.com, blogtalkradio.com, and it's hard to miss Alan Levy. He has his own show also, and he is the chief executive officer of Blog Talk Radio Network and the genius behind this medium. It was his idea. Telecom executive, and figure out how you could do this on your cell phone. And here's what's possible. He's now one of the top 100. This is now one of the top 100 websites in the world, along with things like Google and iTunes, YouTube, MySpace. That's incredible, isn't it, given all the websites and types of media that are available. But any person, any interest group, any organization, they can have their own show. They can broadcast live and streaming audio over the Internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners, and it's absolutely free for the person who does that broadcasting. And the number of shows just increases astronomically in every 6 months or a year. There are thousands of shows on there now. If you look on the network, you'll see the names of people you recognize, their models, their show producers, their entertainers, their authors, their politicians. They have their own network. I'm surprised the new president doesn't have one. I see his picture on there all the time. I don't know if he actually has a show, but perhaps he does. He's a person who likes to use new media. So these shows are archived, by the way, immediately after. We know that some people around the nation, I was looking at some of the listener list today, they actually play these shows for classroom experiences, perhaps in the criminal justice field, and some other things. So if you don't like what you hear here or somewhere else on the Blog Talk Radio Network, go ahead and get your own show. It is possible. You don't have to do it forever. You could do it as frequently or as infrequently as you like. Well, tonight, I'm going to be covering, we're going to have a return visit. He was on in June of 2007 to talk about the TASER, and that's Sergeant Kevin Cavanaugh. From the Kettering, Ohio Police Department, and he is a master TASER instructor, and I'll let him explain exactly what that means, but I know he's trained many, many TASER instructors as well as law enforcement officers in the use of the TASER. I don't recall that I talked very much about the training of private citizens in the use of the TASER, because that model is a relatively recent development. It's called the C2, and we'll get into some of the technical aspects of that later on later on tonight. So what you do as a listener, you can call in on your listener computer if you're doing that. You can listen on your cell phone, but you can call in on a landline, or you can call in by cell number, and the number is 347-996-5983, and it's 347-996-5983. And we can hold five calls at a time, so five people can talk to us. So if people want to have a little roundhouse discussion tonight about this TASER, its use, some of the issues involved with it, then we can certainly do that. And I'm going to pick up the phone here right now and click on. I think we may have our guest on the line already. I think I missed someone. I hope they call back. Go ahead. Sergeant Cavanaugh, is this you?
Yes. How you doing, Professor Haley? It's good to talk to you again.
Ask you, you haven't been promoted since I talked to you last, have you?
Nope, still sergeant. They got me inside now. I'm our professional standard sergeant now.
Oh my gosh, what a job. That sounds like a job with some details involved, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I enjoy. I've only been doing it for about a month now, so it's a nice change.
Okay, you're still on the up curve then in terms of enthusiasm for that then, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good. It's certainly important, and the Kettering, Ohio Police Department is certainly one of the leaders in that, that's for sure. Kevin, I think you recall in the past that when you were on the show that Audrey England, who's my technical and spiritual advisor for the show, she is a collector of blonde jokes. And
yes.
She is a blonde, and she has one tonight. If you wouldn't mind, we'd like to go ahead and let Audrey speak her piece and deliver her blonde joke, and let's see what your comments might be about that, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Audrey, you set with one? Oh, okay. That's right. You told me this was a short one. All right, go ahead.
Professor Haley, this could perhaps be our shortest blonde joke since the start of the Jumble Justice radio show, but it is one I like, and I know you are wanting to get to our special guest on the show tonight who will discuss the police and citizen use of the taser, a remarkable device that even the police in my native England have adopted. So, here is the blonde joke. I hope our listeners will enjoy it. A blonde with dread ears went to her doctor. The doctor asked her what happened. She answered, I was ironing a shirt and the phone rang, but instead of picking up the phone I accidentally picked up the iron and stuck it to my ear. Oh dear, the doctor exclaimed in disbelief. But what happened to your other ear? The blonde replied, the person called back.
Oh, I wonder how many blonde jokes you have, Audrey. You don't even know, do you? I know you do. It's certainly thousands, and she's delivered one for every show we've had, starting 2 years ago. So,
I'm just glad my wife is not blonde.
She would not talk to you for a while if you stayed on and listened to that, huh?
Well, now she's pregnant, so she doesn't talk to me too much anyway. So.
Oh, my. Is this what number child is this?
Very first one for us, so we're pretty excited.
Isn't that great? Oh, my. That's what a delight that will be here very shortly. So that's something. One of the things that we also do on a much more serious note is we are certainly against gun violence, and I've studied the firearms issue here for about the last 10 years and, you know, came out with a book on it that we use in one of our graduate classes. And we always like to play the Ohio Coalition's public service announcement, Ohio Coalition Against Firearms, their public service announcement. It's directed, I believe, sometimes people tell me I'm wrong about this, but I believe it's directed toward the criminals and the gangbangers and the street thugs so that they'll hear the message and then they'll go lay down their guns. We're going to go ahead and play that and get into some news stories and get some of your comments. Ohio Coalition, go ahead.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Again, we thank the Ohio Coalition, and I hope that message falls on the right ears. Kevin, do you think that is directed toward, who's that directed toward, that message?
Well, if you ask me, I think it's directed towards law-abiding citizens who have the right to carry concealed weapons, and apparently they don't want us to.
Yeah, I think they don't. In fact, there are certainly plenty of people in the United States, I've actually spoken to some, who would like to disarm the police if they could.
Yeah, I always, when I was working midnights, I always heard that one commercial about how a child is killed through gun violence every 10 minutes or something like that. They wouldn't play it during the day, but it always just got my goat every single time I heard it.
Right. There's a lot of misinterpretation about some of those statistics, too. And I think we went awry with this. We may be coming back to reality. But when we started, remember when the Centers for Disease Control, isn't that amazing how these federal agencies multiply? It used to be the Center for Disease, and then now it's the Centers. I think there are four or five of them now and probably new ones on the way. But they started calling the gun violence a disease. And no, they did. I mean, it was actually a disease, and they studied it like it was a contagion. And then they had these crazy statistics, and I think they finally went overboard. When you went to a family checkup, your doctor starts asking you about how many guns are in your house and in your home. Of course, it's a tragedy. Certainly when gun accidents happen, but it's not as frequent as some people would like to think that it does occur. We have some news items here before we get into our show. If you wouldn't mind joining me and commenting on some of those, and one of these you probably heard about this past week, but do you know about the 14-year-old boy that went on duty as a Chicago police officer?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Unbelievable. This was in the news on January 26th. How does this sound? A 14-year-old boy was arrested for allegedly impersonating one of their own Saturday by the Chicago police. This boy has been charged for impersonating an officer. He walked into one of their police district stations at Grand Crossing, 7040 Cottage Grove Avenue, dressed in a Chicago police uniform, says police spokeswoman Monique Bond. The boy reported for duty at 1:30 p.m. He partnered, Kevin, if you can believe this, with another police officer for about 5 hours. The boy identified himself as an officer from another district, and he was detailed to Grand Crossing temporarily, and he was signed out at police radio and a ticket book. He actually got in the car, and he went out on the patrol with this particular officer. Bond to the boy, he didn't write any tickets. He said there was no information to indicate that he was ever behind the wheel of the cruiser, but after his tour was over, a ranking police officer became suspicious of this boy. And the police officer said the officer discovered the teen was not a real police officer when he couldn't produce any credentials. The boy was issued wearing police-issued pants, shirt, vest, sweater, and skull cap. He was missing his police star, but that was not discovered. In Chicago, they wear a star, but until after he returned from traffic patrol, police said the 14-year-old's partner on the traffic assignment did not recognize that the boy was underage. he did have an empty holster and a newspaper in place of a ballistic vest in his vest area.
Oh, my God. I first thing I would ask is, does he have a gun with him?
No, not. But is that incredible or what?
Well, I know Chicago PD's got some issues.
You know, Mayor Daley, who's not one to stay out of department affairs in the city of Chicago, is a little distraught about this.
Jeez, that's unbelievable.
We like to do stories on here also, Kevin, about the border watch. And I've been down to Arizona and done some studies down there on immigration and illegal immigration, not illegal. And Texas, put up their own set of border cameras. They put up cameras on, they've been up, I think, for about a year, and they spent $2 million on these cameras. And their anticipation was that they were going to catch a minimum of 1,200 illegals coming across the border with these cameras. Did you ever happen to see the volunteer watch websites that they put up, TexasBorderWatch.com?
No, I've never been on those before.
That was up there for that might have been up for almost a year, and the idea was they were seeing where the private citizens would watch, and they were testing to see if the citizens could call in and actually report. They had about 9 different cameras. Well, anyway, after $2 million and these cameras up for about a year, anticipating catching 1,200, guess how many they've caught?
How many?
3.
Spend $2 million to catch 3 people.
And the citizens of Texas are not happy about this. I'm sure some Homeland Security funds went into that, but not too many. Kevin, I have 2 more things there real quick, and then we'll get to your content, which people are waiting for. But I thought this was kind of interesting. You know how legislators are always, at all levels, are looking for, to jump out in front of a movement, right?
Yeah.
That's legislative.
That benefits them.
See which way the groups want and then jump out in front. Well, we now have a congressman in Congress. He's introduced a bill, and maybe you've had some contact with this on kind of thing on the street, but he's introduced a bill where they're going to make it a law that your cell phone camera must have some type of audible signal when it takes a picture. And the signal
I've heard of that.
Something like 50 feet away. And the idea is that people are taking pictures of others in compromised situations and bathrooms and dressing rooms and fitness labs and who knows wherever. And they're posting them on the web, and this is causing a lot of problems. And particularly this is directed toward juveniles. And but what kind of a law is that your cell phone must make a noise? And what's really odd about this, guess what? It's already a law in one country. It's a law in Japan.
I think we might run into some privacy issues that way, wouldn't you?
Right. I would think so, yeah. It's kind of an odd one. Well, here's one I think about calling the police. If you got time for this one, then we'll go to the taser business. This is something kind of funny. How to call the police. It says when you're old and you don't move fast anymore. I'll take the time to read this quickly. It says, this is George Phillips of Meridian, Mississippi, who was going up to bed when his wife told him that he left the light on in the garden shed, which she could see from her bedroom window. George opened the back door, and he goes down to turn off the light, but he saw that there were people in the shed stealing things. Well, he phoned the police, who asked, is someone in your house? And he said, no. Then they said that all patrols were busy and that he should simply lock his door and an officer would be along, along when they were available. So George says, okay. He hangs up the phone. He counts to 30. He phones the police again. He says, hello, I just called you a few seconds ago because there were people stealing things from my shed. Well, you don't have to worry about that now because I just shot them. Then he hung up. Within 5 minutes, 6 police cars, a SWAT team, a helicopter, 2 fire trucks, and a paramedic and an ambulance showed up to Phillips residence and caught the burglars red-handed. One of the police, George, I thought you said that you shot them. George says, I thought you said that there was nobody available. I don't know if that's true or not, but kind of an interesting little vignette there. Well, Kevin, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and jump into this. And I know that, you know, you did an excellent presentation the last time I listened to it last night, or night before last, when you were on in June of 2007. And tell us a little bit about your career and how you got into the taser business specifically.
Yeah, well, I've been with Kettering for going on 15 years now. And back in 2000, we needed someone to, we had just started up the taser program, and we needed another instructor, so I got involved that way. And the more we got involved, and the more we felt there would be a need for master instructors in terms of liability. So myself and another Lieutenant Wendell Wilcox, him and I went to the taser master instructor school in 2004, and we've been master instructors ever since.
I see. Now, do you actually go, and a master instructor means that what, you're training trainers? Is that kind of a TOT type thing?
Exactly. We train officers from other agencies to become instructors. Mm-hmm. And we also do the annual training with our agency for anything related to taser. We do all the, we look over all the use of force reviews with the tasers. And we do all the downloads of the tasers and all the taser training for our department.
The growth of this as a device for the police to purchase was, let me ask this. Do most departments in Ohio have these?
I'd say it depends on, it's probably less than half right now. It just depends, they can be rather costly. Most of the bigger departments have them, and they've seen that in the long run, it saves lives, and also it lessens officer injuries, and the liability end of it is just tremendous. Everything's gone down for us, so I see a movement towards everyone eventually being armed with taser and have it as another option on your tool belt.
But I'm certain that Kettering was probably one of the first, wasn't it, if you're going back that far?
I believe we were the first of the second agency in Ohio to actually start carrying the taser. Yeah, we looked at it right off the bat, and we loved it, and we've been carrying it since 1999, first came out.
My gosh, so it came out in 99, is that correct?
Right, the bigger one, well, there's been tasers around forever. If you ever saw that Dirty Harry movie where they kidnapped the mayor of San Francisco, they zapped him with a taser. That was back in the early 70s, and they've since upgraded, and they keep doing the research, and they came out with another thing called an air taser in the early 90s. Well, then they came out with the M26 taser in the mid-90s, and now we have the X26 taser, which is what most departments are carrying now. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit more powerful, and just an all-around outstanding less lethal or non-lethal weapon for us to have.
This probably gets complicated, but for the folks that might be listening that actually know almost nothing about this device, what actually happens with this thing?
Well, we fire the trigger and 2 barbs come out. The top one goes straight, the bottom one goes on a little bit of a down angle, and you get a separation between 2 barbs, and essentially electricity goes out one end, goes through the body, and completes a circuit. Little electricity 101, electricity follows the path of least resistance, so it's going to, and all it wants to do is complete a circuit. So So it goes that one barb, comes in the other, and that's how you get the shockwave feeling, the taser wave feeling.
And the shock lasts for what length of time?
Well, it all depends on how long you want it to last. The normal cycle is 5 seconds. If you pull the trigger, it'll run for 5 seconds and automatically shut off. You can have it run less. There's a safety. You can turn the device off, and it'll run less than 5 seconds, or you can actually have it run longer than 5 seconds.
So every time you hit a little button, it'll run another five?
Exactly. Every time you press it and let go of the trigger, it'll run 5 seconds and then shut off automatically. And just press it again, and it'll go again. We call that one cycle. It's a cycle.
Well, how many times, I'm curious about how you use it. We talked about that before, and I know you use the reasonableness criterion for whether it's acceptable as in terms of use of force, but what are some of the situations where you've found it, and your officers have found it most useful?
Basically, people resisting arrest, for the most part. You want to arrest someone, we've got several officers that are very short in stature. If you want to, and they refuse to be arrested, instead of before, we'd have to go hands-on with them. We don't use OC spray. So we have to go hands-on with these people, and if these people are on drugs or something like that, you're going to get in a fight. Officers are going to get hurt. Now we tell them, hey, if you don't comply, I'm going to give you 50,000 volts, and they usually comply. Pretty simple. Believe it or not, one of the best things about the media is they have a huge misconception about the taser, and it's actually helped us. Of the negative media with the taser saying, obviously people think tasers kill people. Taser has never once been proven to be the cause of death. So I've had people come up to me and we've tried to arrest them and they said, I'm not going to get tasered because you guys are going to kill me with it. I'll go to jail. So,
yeah, since we've talked, they've had the famous situation there of the and the line that came out of the incident, the don't tase me, bro.
Hey, I actually have a sticker of that up in my office.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I looked over that, and I was very happy that the officers were adjudicated from that and were found not responsible. And the guy actually came, and I didn't think it was a very heartfelt apology. I think it was his 15 minutes of fame, but at least he did apologize.
And the difference here between the progression up through the police models, what were the improvements that they made with those things?
Well, the M26 was a little bit bigger, and it didn't give out as much power. The X26 is smaller. The M26 was real hard to carry on your belt. It was just big and bulky, and it didn't actually have a trigger. It had a plunger mechanism, and it was a little awkward to fire. The new tasers they have out now, the X26 and the X26 newer generation tasers, they're smaller and they're 5% more powerful. And if you can think of, it uses a thing called shape pulse technology where it actually sends two pulses into you. The first pulse actually opens up, obviously, a minute hole, and with the first bolt of electricity, and then the second one comes in, and basically there's no resistance, so the second bolt go straight through into the person or whatever you're using it on, and it's much more efficient. And that's the new pulse technology that came out with.
Well, the prongs will actually penetrate clothing and jackets and things like that. Is that correct?
Yes, it'll penetrate up 2 inches of clothing, some leather, some body armor. It just all depends on what they have.
Do you happen to know who was the actual inventor of it? Do you know? I guess
the actual inventor of the taser. Well, you know, you asked me that, and if I had all my notes in front of me, I could tell you who it was. But the guys who own Taser now, Tom and Rick Smith, they actually consulted with the original gentleman who came up with the taser and bought his patent. And they improved it based on that back in the early 90s. I don't remember his name offhand. But it's
been over several versions then to
what
we have now. And Let me ask you, within your agency, either you or other officers, what have there been any memorable events, something particularly occurred that got the interest of the press in particular?
Well, when we first came out with them, we had quite a bit of press coverage because we were the only department in the whole Montgomery County, and I think the second or first or second, and so we got quite a bit of press. But we went ahead and we educated the press right off the bat. We knew they were going to ask questions, so we brought them in, gave them demonstrations, told them what it was going to do. We had officers take 5-second rides with the taser. We also hooked up a couple other reporters who took some jolts with it, and they saw what it was. So we were very proactive with agencies, obviously the TV and the reporters. We wanted to make sure they knew what we were doing. And that seemed like that helped us tremendously. So if anyone's out there listening, make sure you educate the public about what you have. You know, because what they see on TV may not necessarily be what's actually happening, and that was the main problem.
Advocate of that, getting out first and getting your story out there, and people are interested in the police. And good stories to start with. So, any officer made any mistakes with it that you were allowed to comment on?
Well, in terms of actually hitting the wrong person, no. We usually aim what we hit at, but obviously we've had some accidental discharges. When we first had them, the officers weren't quite as well trained, and we had a couple of car doors hit with the barbs. I almost got hit in the rear end with it, and the officer who fired it didn't realize it and didn't know how to turn it off, so I would have taken a ride had it hit me. So it's the same thing. It was almost a toy, and they wanted to play with it. And once we got the training down pat and everyone, because when we first guarded them, we only had, I believe, 10, and then only the supervisors carried them. And then then they would call for us to come out there, and that was just too long. Because who knows, the supervisors could be on one end of town, and they'd call on the other end trying to take you 5, 10, 15 minutes to get there. So we made the decision to give the whole department those, and then that's when it really took off. The guys really latched onto the idea, and you've got these officers that have 30, 35 years in that didn't want to use it. All of a sudden, they're saying this is a great device. It's preventing injury, and it's just people don't like electricity, and I don't like putting my hands on someone if I don't have to because someone's going to get injured, and it's just tremendous, tremendous.
The agency I worked for way back in the Ice Age, I did, 5 years and was a patrol officer, and, like carrying the nightstick, we didn't even carry it because we had to write an internal affairs type report every time we even used the thing. So most officers just left the thing in the car, Hey, we have a call on. If you don't mind, let's pick up the caller and see if he has some questions there for you.
Sure.
Hello. Who's on the line?
Hello, Mr. Haley. I have a question for the sergeant.
Okay.
Actually, today I received a call from the sheriff's department to come down and get my license for right to carry, concealed carry. But I wanted to ask the sergeant a question. I'm interested. I'm an instructor at a college, and they have branch campuses. And I'm most concerned because I teach in the evenings and can't take the concealed carry on in a course into the building. And my question was, would I be allowed to take the C2 taser in with me into that setting?
Yeah, there is no specific law in Ohio right now reference the C2. So, yes, you could take it in there with you. It's just like at this point, it's just like a stun gun. You can pretty much take one of those stun guns pretty much anywhere you want to go. So that's what's classified as.
Well, my other question would be, I'm just very ignorant of the fact. I mean, at what point can I, if someone confronts me in the parking lot, at what point can I pull out the taser and shoot them?
Well, that's pretty broad. I mean, if they're threatening you and you feel threatened, and if they're going to rob you or something like that, obviously you have every means possible to defend yourself. So in a specific situation, you'd have to give me specifics on what it would be. If someone just comes up to you and asks you for change, obviously you're not going to pull the C2 out and let loose on them. But you have every right to defend yourself. But one thing I would let you know, don't bring a taser to a gunfight. Because if you're getting robbed somewhere and then someone pulls a gun, I mean, we train this with us, you don't want to bring a taser. Because they are not 100% effective. So in that situation, I would give the guy what he wanted and then just get the license plate and become a good observer and save that C2 for another day.
Okay. And then the other thing, I mean, a threat, would that be considered, would I have to see a weapon on them for that to be a threat, or could they just simply going to hit me?
No. I'm 6'8", and I weigh about 315 pounds. If I came up to you, I didn't have my hands or have my hands in my pocket and said, give me all your money, I would say that's a threat. So, he doesn't have to display a weapon for you to pull that out. But the way the C2 is designed is you pull it out, you activate it, and the thing runs for 30 seconds. So what happens is after the barbs make contact, you just throw it on the ground and you take off. And that's how that works. And then you call Taser International with the police report. You give them the police report, and they send you another one.
Okay. And of course, then I would call the police department to tell them what happened.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as you got away, call them and say, hey, this guy tried to mug me. I used my Taser C2, and chances are he's probably going to have the barbs in him somewhere, so he's probably going to go to the hospital to get those removed. And hopefully we'll catch him from there.
Okay. And then my last question would be then, if I do hit someone with a taser, then am I going to be going to jail that night?
As long as you're defending yourself, no, you're not going to go to jail. But if you use it in terms of like horseplay or you use it to assault somebody, then yeah, we'll have an issue with that.
Okay.
So
they're actually pretty hard to get. You can't have a criminal record. They'll do a criminal background check on you, and before you can buy it, but you can't activate it till you have your background check done, and then they give you a password, and that's how you activate it. So
okay.
I
did hear that it does leave confetti behind with the identification numbers on it, that it came from your taser. Is that true?
Correct. That's one of the safety features. It's called an AFID, which is an anti-felon identification.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is, it's the cartridge that you have, it fires, and those AFIDs are specific to that cartridge. So let's say something happens, we can go back out to the scene and look for those AFIDs and they can correspond with the one, and Taser keeps all these on file. So they can say, you've got cartridge number 12345, it was used, and we'll go out there and we'll say, okay, we find the AFID show cartridge 12345, so we know it was you that used it, and that's just another safety feature they have.
Okay, and then I saw something that Mr. Haley had displayed, that within the last 3 months, I think he showed a report where there wasn't anything listed there, but then later within the last 3 months, we saw that it was declared in Ohio, maybe you could correct me, Mr. Haley, but as a deadly weapon.
Tasers are not considered deadly weapons.
Okay. I appreciate your time there, sir.
Oh, no problem. Good luck with it.
Okay, thank you.
The force, the standard that he's using is essentially the same as the officer, then it's a reasonableness type of standard that you use enough force to overcome what's facing you. Is that correct, or is it
something
else? Absolutely.
Okay. Yep, that would be the standard you would use, a reasonable, prudent person to believe. Yeah, if you believe that he was a threat, then he's allowed to use that device.
How widespread do you feel is the civilian sales of these things?
Well, they started off pretty slow. We've seen a lot more. Actually, within the last year or so, I've seen a lot of stuff on television about these taser parties where women get together, and there's like 9 different colors of the C2, and you can get anything from pink to, I think they got a leopard skin color one now, and obviously it's catered more towards females that put them in their purses or something like that. And they're really exploding in popularity right now. It's a good device, and it's a good alternative to a firearm for someone to go ahead and get. And it's relatively inexpensive as compared to firearms. If you haven't noticed, with the new president, firearm prices have really gone through the roof lately. So
someone,
a little nervous.
someone awarded him as the gun salesman of the year.
I tell you what, he's done more for gun sales than he thinks.
We have another caller online. Let's go ahead and pick them up and see what they have to say.
Sure.
Hello, this is Keith Haley.
Yes, my name is John Kavanaugh. I'm Kevin's uncle.
Uncle John, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. The reason I'm calling is that it occurred to me during this discussion that a taser would be, I wouldn't have a gun in my house. I mean, I live in the inner city, but I would not have a gun in my house. I have a real problem with guns in the inner city or anywhere, really. But it would seem to me that a taser would work, and just only in case of somebody breaking in or whatever. And I'd like just to have Kevin go ahead and say what he thinks about that.
Well, I think it's a great home protection tool, but unfortunately in Michigan they are illegal.
They're illegal? Okay.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Now, the police can have them, but the civilian models are illegal up there. And then Taser's been working with the Michigan law enforcement agency, Malazzi, up there trying to get that through. But as of right now, they are illegal up there.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
As soon as I find out, I'll let you know, and I'll get you one, sir.
Okay.
Knuckles are illegal, aren't they? In Michigan? I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are illegal just about everywhere.
No, I meant just your own knuckles.
Oh.
I was up at a Cabela's and was asking about the taser, and they said you can't even have them in the state of Michigan.
No, not yet. That's kind of, there's like three or four states you can't have, and Michigan's one of them.
So the way we are now in Ohio, for example, if you go to TGIF or some restaurant that serves alcohol, that's perfectly legal to carry that thing, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And you could literally go to a bar, too, if you wanted to do that?
Yeah, at this point, there's no law against it. And I would advise against drinking and having one of them with you. But, yeah, there's no law against it in Ohio as of right now.
Have your officers confronted people with them yet that they know that they've had them?
Not a C2. Taser has some other civilian models out. They have one called an X26C, and that looks like the police version, but it's not quite as powerful. We actually have a bar owner in the city that has one and has used it several times, and they are very effective.
Oh.
And we've gone out there, and like that one caller said before, he's never been arrested.
My gosh. Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, he actually came and told us that he had one and wanted us to know when we went in there, so I will give him kudos for doing that. It was very important that we knew that, but he's used, I think, two times now, and he's righteous both times to use it.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to that gun issue. I mean, certainly the wisdom is to get away from let somebody have what they want if they have a gun and you have a taser, but actually in terms of the technicalities of it, I mean, if you would hit them first, that would disable them even if they had the pistol, correct?
Yes. Yes, it would. As long as it worked correctly, that would disable them for at least, well, if you had the civilian model, for 30 seconds.
What's the error rate like?
Pardon me?
What's the error rate like in terms of shooting number of times versus, how many times it works properly?
For police, it's about 94% effective.
Okay.
Yeah, there are instances where it's not effective. Very rarely the device malfunctions, but it's usually operator error. The officer does something incorrectly to do that, and that's what causes the device to malfunction. Yeah, but pretty reliable tool for us to carry.
Have people, when somebody gets that from the police, do you necessarily take them to the hospital?
Well, our policy says that we have to have a medic come out and remove them. If it's in a sensitive area like the groin or the eyeball or in the breast area, we'll take them to the hospital and have the doctors remove it. Yeah. And then we keep those and put those in evidence until after the trial's over with, or if they go to trial. We keep all that as evidence.
I was wondering that, what would you know in terms of the number of times you folks have used it since implementation?
probably over 100 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gone way down. I mean, it's just people know you have them, and they'd rather go to jail peacefully than to take that 5-second ride with the taser. The big things are the bigger departments, and you know they start off with a huge. We were using it quite often, and then once they realized what it was, it's really gone down. I'd like to see how that is with some of the bigger departments if their use was high when they first got it, and how it is 5 or 6 years after. That'd be interesting. Maybe that's something Taser could look into eventually.
Cincinnati was pretty early here too, weren't they? And they claim that they cut their injuries down. I hear this figure more than once, that the injuries to officers and citizens are down maybe like 50%.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, that's a big thing after that incident that happened with that gentleman, and he was hit with the baton. He was on all kinds of drugs, and then he ended up dying. I think that prompted them to get it, and I think it's been. I actually know a couple of the masters. They have, I believe, 3 master instructors down in Cincinnati, and so they take it very seriously, and they are raving about it down there.
I think the most publicized case here in Ohio was probably the one in Toledo, wasn't it, where the guy died and he was shot like 4 times on the street and 5 in a jail, or vice versa, one of the two.
Right.
Nine.
That was another issue with the coroner. We train at my department, and when I train in the instructors, if you got to hit someone with the taser 3, 4, 5, 6 times, it's probably not working. You got to go to something else. All right. And yeah. I don't know all the circumstances up there. I know the coroner, actually another one of my friends is a master instructor in Toledo, and the coroner defined it as a death partially as Taser's fault. Taser has since fought them, and that's been redefined. The problem that they're having is the coroners, it's such a new technology, the coroners don't understand it, and so they're always saying the taser's approximate cause of death when it isn't. That's the big issue. Taser right now is being very aggressive, and anytime they see a coroner on the coroner's report say that taser was one of the causes of death, they sue the coroner, and they have not lost yet. It's a pretty big thing, and now people are getting more familiar with it, and there's books upon books upon books upon books of all kinds of different testing, and not once has it shown to be the proximate cause. It's cyclical. Back when batons first came out, the police were killing people with batons. Well, we know that's not the case. Then pepper spray came out, and oh my God, people were dying because of pepper spray. And then positional asphyxia came out with when we were hog tying, and that was all the rage. Well, taser's just the rage right now. It's what people are saying. One, it's really their own personal actions that are causing it. It has nothing to do with the taser.
Where do you think, knowing as much about this as a person can know, where do you think Ohio is going in terms of any type of legislation? I had a graduate student once, and she was an aide to a council member in Columbus. And he was trying to gather information to come up with some type of regulation to regulate the taser. I don't know if Columbus ever did that. They didn't during the time that she was my student. But do you think Ohio's going to take some step in this direction or not?
Ohio seems like they're about 4 or 5 years behind everybody else in their laws, so I don't know for sure. I know we've had a couple of symposiums trying to define on the use of force continuum where to put the taser. But at this point, I don't see anything in the near future in terms of taser regulation. Actually, at this point, I don't know of any state that, other than flat-out banning it, like Michigan and a few of the East Coast states don't have it. I don't see anything on legislation. You just don't see them all that often. The people that use them for home protection,
right,
or something similar to that. And
it's almost like it's a non-issue at the moment, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, at the moment, it's like with the concealed carry law in Ohio, we all thought that was going to be a pretty big deal, and that has kind of turned out to not been that much of an issue in Ohio either. So
I think
it's a great tool, so they need to keep going with the taser.
Would you recommend any type of, is it sufficient enough that you do a background check with the taser company and think that that's it? Or would that do it for you in terms of what we're doing now?
Oh, yeah, taser, you can buy the device, but it won't work until you get the background check done. You have to call taser and have it done through them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have anything on your record. They will not let you fire the device without it. So they're very specific, and that was the big issue. I knew about this before it even came out at one of our conferences I attend. They start talking about it, and that was our big issue, is, hey, what happens if someone gets it not supposed to get it? And they talked about the background checks and everything like that. Of course, it is like a firearm. If you get it, and then it gets activated, and then you lose it or it gets stolen, someone's going to be able to fire it. And I'll always train in terms of police officers. Someone points a taser at you, they got one thing on their mind, they're going to incapacitate you, and what happens when you're incapacitated? Well, they're going to take your gun, or they're going to do something. So you know, we're trained, if someone pulls a taser on you as a police officer, you pull your firearm.
Right.
It can be considered deadly force.
And those, I imagine there have been a few of those cases across the country or not?
I have not heard of a single case where that has happened.
Huh.
No, and Taser International is very good about sending out all kind monthly updates. And if you get on their website, they always talk about things.
Okay, yeah.
And I have not heard of one person to grab a taser and an officer involved shooting with the taser.
And that's
so,
taser.com, their site, correct?
Yeah, it's taser.com.
Right. It's an excellent site, and their training mechanism. Boy, have you been actually to the facility?
Yes, I've been there twice now. Yeah. It is pretty high tech.
It does. It looks like a lovely place. It looks like it's something out in outer space, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to have, they have the retina scan to get in the place. It's pretty neat.
Yeah,
and it's all blacked out because people, believe it or not, they're right off a freeway, and people are always trying to get pictures and look in there, and they're afraid that they might try and steal their technology, so they got everything blacked out. That's how hot the technology is right now.
And nobody's really competing with them, are they, in terms of a device?
They've had a couple other companies come out. Stinger has a model out now that does not compare to the taser, in my opinion. It's a little bit different. It's a pain compliance tool. So if you have a high pain threshold, you can overcome the device, whereas taser overcomes the central nervous system and then also the neuromuscular system. So it hits you twice, so you can't overcome it. I don't know one person that can overcome it. And I've seen hundreds upon hundreds of people. There's over 500,000 people that have been hit with the taser, and there's not one person I could think of that's ever overcome the device.
Who do
or
you know,
an OC spray, just like that.
Selling this device to civilians, to citizens, how many different ways is that sold? It's sold on the internet. It's sold in stores. Are there people who make a living doing this?
Well, there's obviously the regional directors, but you can go down to your local gun store. We have a gun store in Kettering. They sell them. I was at Vance's Outdoor Supply up in Columbus recently, mm-hmm. and they sell them there. You can get them over the internet. They're actually pretty easy to get. And Taser's actually come out with some pretty neat accessories. They actually have an MP3 player built into a little carrying case with it, so you can go out jogging with your Taser device, with your C2, and listen to your favorite rock and roll songs as you're out there jogging and knowing that you have the C2 with you. So it's pretty neat what they do, what they come up with.
That's not to accompany your assailant, then, where you play them.
Well, hopefully they can't sneak up on you when you got those earplugs in your ear. But for the most part,
yeah. In fact, I've commented before on my radio show. I've had a friend of mine murdered that way. He was jogging on the streets, and something he had done for years, and three people beat him up, and he died the next day. But this would have been perfect for him. Of course,
yeah,
would have worked also, but
Let me mention the issue with women and rape, which is certainly a major concern for somebody out by themselves, home alone, exercising, whatever. This just seems ideal, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We have a bike path just down the street from where I live, and when I ride, I'm a pretty avid bike rider. When I'm riding my bike, there's a couple colleges close to where I live, and I just think of that, thinking, geez, what could happen to these poor people? And you can just carry it right with you in that little carrier that you can buy, and I guess you'd be listening to your MP3 player, and someone could jump out, you have it there for you. It's that convenient to use.
When you shoot this thing, you can disengage the cartridge, right? I mean,
not with this one. With the model I carry, you can. Okay, you can turn it off. With this one, once you fire it, it's designed for you to put it down and for you to run away. So once you fire it, the barb into someone, bam, the 30 seconds, they're going to run. And that gives you the chance to put it down and to get away. Yeah. And there's a little safety that covers it, but once you pull that safety off and it activates it, and then you point, there's a little laser that comes out if you wanted one. And
they have a laser.
They have both. You can get one with a laser. You can get one that with the laser is a little more expensive than without the laser.
And the laser is pretty much the sight, correct?
Yes, correct. Correct. Where you point, you aim it, and where the laser sight is where the barb's going to go. So there's a lifetime warranty on it. So like I said, if you put it down, if you fire it and put it down, they're going to send you another one.
That is fantastic. It's certainly, I love police technology. One of my friends, that's another story, and he was murdered. He's a criminologist in Cincinnati, and he wrote a book on about August Vollmer. It's called August Vollmer and the History of Police Professionalism. And Vollmer was the police chief, you know, a long time ago. You know about him, and he was fascinated with technology. And he said that technology would help, as it has other fields, it would help professionalize the police. And you know, the radio patrol car and call box and all those things. I think he was involved in things like that. But this is. This is certainly a device that is just, I don't know how people, when they get inside and they learn the details of how this works, and, you know, again, the fact that it hasn't caused any deaths, how could someone be against it, really, if they're objective?
Well, you have to be objective. There are, the ACLU is not obviously a proponent of it. Amnesty International is against it. I actually know that at one time he was the lawyer for the ACLU out of Cincinnati. His name was Greenwood. I can't remember what his first name is now. But he was a good guy. He was actually a proponent for Taser, and I got to meet him at a conference, and he was really – and he was very anti-gun, and that's his stance. But he thought the Taser was a great device for the police because it actually would stop them from having to use their firearms in situations. He was a big proponent of it. So it just comes out to the knowledge, and people have to understand the limitations of it and the uses of it. Are there going to be officers out there that are going to misuse it? Yes. But you know, in any profession, that's going to happen. But
and it's a small fraction of percentage.
Yes.
It's everywhere. Well, Kevin, this is great. Our hours is gone, and this is so informative for our listeners, and I'm sure folks will be replaying that that need some answers. I'll ask real quick. I think Rick is still on the line. Rick, do you have any final questions?
No, but the only other thing that I was going to say was to Kevin's uncle, if he's still listening, not to convince him or anything, but I'm 49 years old, and I never believed in having a gun in my house. I have two kids and a wife, and I just recently I heard that Michigan is the governor is releasing a lot of prisoners from prison because they simply cannot afford to keep them in prison. And I heard the same things happening down in Cincinnati. And I just decided that when I'm on the road that I simply needed to get a gun in the house, because for that person that breaks in my house and tries to kill me and my family, I got to have something. Before I had nothing.
Yeah, you have a right to defend yourself. I don't think everyone should have guns in their home. They need to have training. I don't expect them to just go out and buy one, because then without any training on how to use it, But yeah, you have a right to defend yourself. If you don't want a gun in the house, a taser is the next best thing.
Yeah.
Gives you 15 feet to get the guy and to get out of the house and then get to safety. So yeah, it's a great device.
Well, thank you, Sergeant.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. It couldn't be more informative. And again, if there's anything I can do for you up this way, you certainly let me know, and keep that wonderful career going.
Professor Hay, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much, sir. All right.
All right.
See you tonight. Vera's going to sign us off until we meet again.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.